I want to show you something.
Oh, really?
It's big. It's black. It's orange.
Do you want to see my pounder? Do you want to see my pounder? Do you want to see my pounder?
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. What is up, guru?
I have been fishing on the Bay of Green.
On the Bay of Green. I know you've been catching some. How's that been going for you there, buddy? We're getting into like this late Wisconsin, you're trolling kind of, it's getting cold, buddy. Snow.
It's getting a wee bit chilly up here, Steve.
Hey there.
I heard down south you caught a big muskie on a secret lure.
There's no... Yeah, I did. More to come on that later. Listen, two words, right? Big Norm.
What?
Say it with me now, Tyler. Big.
Big.
Norm.
Norm.
Big Norm.
Big Norm.
Big Norm.
I like it.
I like it. Guys, if you want to see a cool bait, stay tuned. We're going to give you some more info on that one. But yeah, I did. That you're making me embarrassed slightly, but nailed a Pigasaurus on a bait that's called the Big Norm. Can't get the Big Norm yet. You're about to be able to get the Big Norm, though. But, yeah, that's what's going on there. Anyway, we need to talk about a couple things that have definitely been going on. Especially in your neighborhood, because I got a couple texts this week from people talking about there's snow on the ground already, right? All the wannabes, all the weekenders are done.
They're gone, man. There might be one crazy guy that's still jet skiing and annoying people. in Wisconsin, man, I'm never surprised.
Right.
I mean, there's always that one kid in high school that wears shorts all through winter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just to prove he can. So we are down to... serious muskie anglers, which this time of year, you better be trolling and you better be jigging, right?
And dragging some meat.
Dragging meat. And we talked about meat, but here in a minute, we're going to talk jigging. We're going to talk trolling. First off, though, Tyler, we really need to mention the they're doing the Lord's work there at the muskie shop, getting rid of the possums.
Yes, they are. It's very holy.
Holy. If you watch the video, Jay just put up a video of the amount of possums in the muskie shop is despicable. You know, they're not real happy with us here at the Muskie 360 podcast because there's a lot of possums up there.
Jay did send me a nice grip and grin of him holding up a nice possum that he caught in the shop.
How many inches was that possum?
A good 35. That's a big 35-incher.
35-inch possum. That's respectable. Yeah. Anyway, as you can tell, the promo's still going. If you take a live possum to the muskie shop, you get a free shield rod. They're just tearing that place up. Poor Elmer Jensen. F in the chat for Elmer. Press F to pay your respects. Elmer Jensen attacked by possums this week. We need your thoughts. We need your prayers. We need you to press F in the chat. Elmer was attacked by a possum. The possum's got me, Dad. Daddy, the possum's coming for me. Thoughts and prayers for Elmer. He is the victim of a savage possum attack. I'll try to insert some sad music here for Elmer. He was found back there next to the jerk baits, just devastated by a possum attack, Tyler, I believe.
Yeah, I heard it just walk past him and brushed against his leg.
Bit him right there on the ankle.
Got him.
Gotcha. That possum headshotted Elmer right there in the shop, boys. Never going to be the same.
Got him.
Got him. Anyway, with that being said, get yourself a possum, and then go get yourself a free shield rod for that possum. You just drop it off in the store. Really, the way this has been working is the guys at the shop are so confused. The guys there at the muskie shop are so confused by the possum running around, they don't see you when you leave with the shield rod you just pick up and leave with.
You know, yeah, it's, just, how, it's like it's like camouflage.
Exactly. You throw the possum at Jay. just grab that shield rod. In all seriousness, take Jay a possum. He loves them. Anyway, other than that, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
If you had me in the palm of your hand, would you play with me?
Absolutely.
If I had you in the palm of my hand, I would play with you.
How dare you?
Well, should I ask first, Tyler?
Always ask permission.
May I play with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. A little bit of a teaser here. If you want to play with me and Tyler in your pocket or in your hand, there might be. I heard rumor of Muskie 360, Muskie Country. You're in Muskie Country, baby. Muskie. The Muskie fishing game. What do you think of that, Tyler?
I love it.
Guys.
I love it.
That's all I'm going to say. Tyler's been playing Muskie Country already, I believe, right?
For hours and hours.
Right.
And hours.
Folks, if you want to take time out of your day and play with me and Tyler, let me know. Come play with us.
We want to play with you.
Come play with us.
We won't bite you.
Play with me. Play with me.
Oh my god.
Play
gosh.
With me, Tyler. Tyler,
I won't bite you.
Tyler, I'll play with you if you play with me. Video games. We're not. Listen. It's a video game. I could play with Tower. Tower could play with me. Got some things in the works, folks. If you want,
I can play with my. I can even play with myself.
Listen, it's a fact.
It is. It's a fact.
That's all I'm going to say. If you want to play with me, you want to play with Tyler, you want to play with other muskie anglers, got some things in the works, folks. Just a little teaser there of Muskie Country. Woo! I don't. What are you making that sound for?
That's a northern woo, son.
That is a, man, that is not a holler and a swaller. Down here, we know how to do a holler and a swaller. Anyway. We're going to talk right now about jigging.
Jig-a-lig-lig.
Jig-a-lig. Anyway, guys, the big thing that we're seeing and hearing about and talking to other pros here at the app is northern Wisconsin, pretty much the habitat range right now, you need to be trolling and you need to be jigging. And with jigging, you know, Cody Dalton was on the podcast last week, which he's got a really cool video up. And if you want to learn about jigging, check out his stuff. Muskie Attic, it's here on the app. But fish right now are starting to make some moves vertically, and they're starting to drop down a little bit where you're at.
It's 15, 20 feet of water.
Well, it's becoming a deep game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing is, jigging is one of those things not a lot of people are doing, but we all know Bondi jigs, right? So you got, right now, you have Bondi jigs and you got Shumway Fuzzy Does It. Pretty much, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are some alternative things that you can do. Let's say you don't have a jig, right? And it's just not in the budget to go load up with some more gear, or you're just wanting to do something different. Me and the guru have worked on a bunch, which is just alternative jigging stuff. I'm hearing good things from guys up north about it. And it can be as simple as, like, you know, the Muskie Shop, they sell what? 3/4 ounce, 1 ounce jig heads, like big jig heads.
Yeah, they have like the pre-tied, they have pre-tied jig heads with all sorts of like rubber skirts on them that you can jig for muskies. But then they have ones without anything on them that you can tie yourself.
Which me and you have done a bunch, which is, and the main thing of interest to look at for those things is I like taking those and doing creature baits, doing big soft plastics, anything that sort of undulates and flopping around there, I've done well. You can get those big lizards.
Mm-hmm.
Those bass lizards. Lizard.
Lizard.
That's a great, like, fake last name. Hi, my name's Jim Lizard. But, you know, you can put a big plastic on the back. You can put a rubber skirt on those things. And me and Guru have had luck with taking just those raw jig heads they have there. They're already powder coated. And dressing them up with a skirt, dressing them up with some soft plastic, anything you got laying around. Because really, as long as it's doing some undulating and shaking on the back end of that thing, it's going to score a fish because it's really a proximity game. The other thing, because we've gotten a lot of questions, and the reason we're talking on this is jigging and trolling, trying to cover this instead of the, and keep it here instead of the Q&A, which is, even in the winter, you've heard me talk about jigging spinnerbaits, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's yep. something that you hear from me, jigging spinnerbaits, jigging slot masters, jig a rad dog, I jig a Dick Pearson's grinder. I don't care what it is. Spinnerbaits are excellent jigging baits. I'm preferential to the slot masters. Wonder why, you know, it's the Joe Booker Muskie 360 app. So no wonder I'm preferential to a slot master, but I like taking those and, grabbing like a number 9 blade or a number 10 bait blade slot, swapping the blade on that slot master for a bigger bait, which will slow the fall. So my concepts for jigging spinner baits, even this late in the year, at a grub, one thing that I like to do, and this is a really cheap thing to do, is they make, like, you know, the typical bass worms, Tyler, like ribbon tail bass worm.
Mm-hmm.
Go down to whatever store you want to. You can get there's gas stations that sell rubber worms, and stick one of those on that rear hook. And, you know, it's a pretty long, a bigger profile thing. You can use that to beef up that bait. Just anything that's going to undulate when it's falling. I like upsizing the blade. I'll take like a mag 10 blade or an 8, 9, 10. The bigger the blade, the slower it will fall. And it like helicopters on its way down, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to jig fast, go small. You want to jig slowly, big blade. Put the big skirt on there. The one thing is paddle tails will slow your bait down more than like a ribbon tail. So if you need a really slow jigging bait, right? Let's say it's really cold water. We're getting closer to ice up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger blade, bigger plastic. And so like a big paddle tail, like a big, big, big sassy shad or a big, they used to make like the 3D design or whatever the heck they call them, like Jack's jig back in the day, which is just a big soft plastic, or there's a Weston, I think it's called a Weston shad tease, soft plastic. A big paddle tail will really slow a bait down when it's falling. So colder water, the colder it gets, the bigger the tail and the bigger the blade, that will be a slower rise and descent on that bait. Bigger thump too. The reason I like jigging spinner baits is when the fish hits it, there's no plastic for the teeth to dig into.
And straight feeling.
Yeah, you can. The second he hits, you got him. You know, you jig a Bondi, and it's a rubber bait. How many times do people have a fish that hit a bulldog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this fish hits a bulldog, and his teeth are in the plastic, and you really don't get a great hook set.
Nah, you lose them.
You lose them. You know, that's the one thing that I would say is jigging spinnerbaits is a real clean way of going, oh, okay. Another thing that I like to do there is I've got that hook mod video where you can put the trailer on a spinnerbait or on any hook. I've done that for adding grubs, and there's a video on the app here talking about adding a back blade to like a bucktail. That same concept will work on the trailer hook on a spinnerbait, where you can add a second blade to a spinnerbait off the back of it. And a little trick I like to do is put like a 9 or a 10 on where the blade is, and then put like a 7 or even a willow off the back of the bait. So now you've got two blades. It slows it down a bunch for slower jigging, but it's a bunch of action, right? And so you got to forego your plastics then, but you can, if you can, or envision how that thing's falling, you got a big blade here, a smaller blade on the back, as it's going down, we've got two different levels of pump coming out of that bait. That's why I like jigging spinner baits, because there's a lot of versatility in how you can sort of rig that bait and get some different things out of it. And through the course of the day, you know, if we're going to jig, I like to take a spinner bait and go, I'm jigging today, and just do quick mods to it on the boat, or have a couple rigged up where I can do some quick change outs of blade size on the front, blade size on the back, change the plastics out and get that versatility. You know, the skirt puffs and gives it some life, but that's really my jigging thing. Another thing too, though, and not to soapbox too bad here, is for you Southern guys, the jigging in around shallow timber with that as well, is if you're in shallow timber, you might not want that same fast rate of fall as some of these heavier jigs. And just sort of helicopter it in there and drop it in. That's a point. But like I said, that pre-ice up, really cold water temps, we're getting in the 40s up north. You need to slow the fall on those jigs, because those fish are moving slow. And the slower that bait's going, the more easy it is for that fish to commit to it and go, hey, I'm gonna nail this thing. Other than that, Soapbox and Tyler, a bunch of questions this week about trolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else.
Cool.
If nothing else, we could pontificate on is this, and I'm summarizing about 50 questions, by the way, between jigging and trolling. And we've got so many this week, I'm trying to cover everything in like a quick segment here. And Tyler, I'll let you take over when it comes to the DRs. Jakes are awesome this time of year. Jakes, headlocks, Cisco Kids, your deeper running cranks and your bigger, wobbling, wider, wobbling, fat, attention-getting crankbaits are what it's all about right now, right? The one thing I can tell you, everybody's asking, how deep do you go? Tyler, the one question, Wisconsin, it varies county to county, basically, right, on how many lines you can run?
Yeah, most counties are one per person, three max per boat. But there are a few counties where it's three per person.
Well,
I don't know what the max is, but the one line per person is almost all of the counties.
I'll tell you right now, if you're fishing by yourself, you need to get Cousin Jasper and Aunt Edna in the boat with you, so you can be running three lines.
You get know, that's, three out there, man.
That's the one thing with trolling, and with so many questions about trolling this week. You know, what bait do I troll?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm trolling, I want as many out there as I can get. You know, if you need to get a cardboard cutout of me and the guru and put them in the boat, do it. You know, just out there trolling around with some cardboard cutouts. Get as many lines going as you can. You know, you've heard us talk. I'm not going to walk backwards on trolling basics and stuff, but you got some trolling under your belt. You know, you can run two, three lines. Get old Cousin Eddie out there in the boat and tell him, drink a cup of coffee and be quiet, right? You know, I'm gonna troll extra lines, because it becomes a matter of running a spread this time of year. It becomes a matter of, you know, let's run a 8-inch DR, let's run a 10-inch Jake, and let's run, oh goodness, heck, even still, you might have the oddball smaller bait out there running shallower, just to try to cover that, to narrow your scope. And Tyler, I know you've been really like thumping brains right now this time of year on the 8-inch DR trolling. What's sort of the Northern Wisconsin approach right now? Is it a break line thing, or what are you looking for? Cribs? What are you looking for when we're trolling DRs? We're trolling some of the deeper stuff.
I mean, I'm kind of trolling everything. A lot of break line stuff, like say, like the Cisco Lakes, the Cisco Base Lakes. They're spawning. They're going to start spawning now. They're starting to stage for spawning. So they're going to be on those deeper breaks of those Cisco Base Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trolling. I'm either trolling right above them, right through them, all around them. I'm trying to mark those fish on those breaks. They could be in 20 feet of water. I'm slow trolling, nothing fast this time of year. These are cold blooded animals. They're not going to be moving fast. They're all sluggish and fat and lazy. But you know, I'm targeting brake lines most of the time with sand and gravel. None of that mucky stuff. They're not spawning in mucky bays, unfortunately.
Mucky bay.
Yeah. But I'm targeting the rocky sandy brake lines that the Siskas will be spawning in or staging to spawn, because the muskies are going to be right there. I mean, they all year long they've been unable to target those Siskas because the Siskas live below the thermocline, and now it's turnover happened. Guess what? The muskies can eat the Siskas, so they're going to be all over them. They're nice and fatty. They're good for fat storage in winter. Plus, they're tasty. They're good. Tasty. I like them a lot.
I like it a lot. Give me a game plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying we're going out and we're going to troll the majority of the day.
Okay.
But I am a single line angler.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through bait changes, depth changes. What's sort of the game plan for I can only troll one line Wisconsin angler. What's a basic game plan to sort of have in that scenario?
Well, if I mark a school of fish, okay, say I'm going along this one shoreline of the lake and it's all rocky. There's like two main pods of Siskas that are there, and I control one line. I will say I'll take an 8-inch depth reader, and I've marked them, say, at 22 feet. I'm going to run that depth reader. So it's a clear lake. I'm going to run it at maybe 5 feet above that school,
mm-hmm.
going really slow. I'm going to try.
Which
I'm
we can go, say you might want to add weight to it to get it at that depth. Which is,
yeah, yeah, I have a couple
tricks up like, your sleeve. Yeah,
yeah, a couple tricks. Like, you know, I put a couple bell sinkers on the what's it called? The swivel of the leader,
mm-hmm.
and or you just use 1 ounce, 2 ounce weights to make mm-hmm. it go down a little bit deeper.
Right.
But I'm going to experiment with going through the schools or above the schools on the sides of the schools. With the same bait, and then I'm going to switch baits and try it over again.
Yeah.
If those are the only, say, two schools that I'm marking, I'm going to go through with different depths and kind of speeds, but nothing fast. Maybe it's like 1.2 to 1.4. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Trying something like that, but then I'm going to switch baits, switch colors, mm-hmm. try something different then.
And then, you know, for rocky shorelines and stuff, are you starting shallow and working your way out deep? Or are you starting deep and working your way in? What's sort of the game plan on those shoreline targeted fish?
I mean, as far as like locating them, I mean, no, I'm not just going to start. Arbitrarily trolling.
Yeah.
You right. know, it's just I'm going to go look and find the bait fish. Yeah. I'm not going to waste time just trolling down a shoreline, going 1 mile an hour, and then I get like 200 yards down the shoreline and I mark fish
right.
when I can just boat up to it, boat fast, and find them. I'm going to boat around the whole lake, mark schools, then revisit all those schools, trolling that singular bait. Then I'm going to revisit them again with the same bait at a different depth, and then switch baits and start over again.
Nice.
And see if I can't pick off somebody.
Buddy, that is trolling efficiency right there.
Nice. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to just be like, oh, I'm going to troll and try to find fish.
Find the bait and then troll.
I mean, I do that all the time. It's like, you could troll at 1 mile an hour and find one school, or you can go super fast, look at the geography of the lake, try to figure out where the bait fish are, rocky points, reefs, rocky reefs, sandy reefs, steep drop-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Bait are going to be somewhere around there. Quickly boat to those spots, see if you can mark anything, do a couple circles, a couple figure eights with your boat, mark nothing, move on.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't make sense to troll over empty water.
One thing that we talked about in the summer here about finding and triangulating on bait fish.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of reading the climate. Don't be afraid of reading the weather where, you know, if the wind is blowing into something, just like in the spring and the summer where it's blowing bait fish into a shallow bay, it will blow fish into areas still.
Absolutely. You know,
they might not be up in the littoral zone or up in the super shallow stuff, but they'll be adjacent thereof. So read your conditions to narrow, like you're saying, you know, you're trying to narrow the search, because a lot of people look at trolling as this arbitrary, I'm dragging a bait.
And yeah, if you're just dragging a bait over empty space, it's mm-hmm. empty space. There's nothing there.
Right. So narrow your search, the scope of your search, and use smart thinking. So If the wind is blowing into the westward shore of this place for 2 days, start looking there. If it's blowing the other way, look on the other side. You know, look at weather patterns, look at the wind, look at water conditions to sort of dictate where those fish will be. Also, too, Tyler, we've done this together, where the angle of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just because those fish aren't shallow anymore, that plays part of this game. And so just be observant. And that's probably, I guess, the biggest takeaway in that whole little segment here is be observant of the environment that you're in and just like try to narrow it down as quickly as possible. And like you said, man, troll smart. That's the one thing. And in trolling is a great thing where you can just smack a bait out there and just sort of drag it. But you're going to catch more fish if you're trolling smart. So find the bait first. Find fish. You know, I've seen it before and I've laughed. Me and you have been on place and we watch a boat going down the lake. And we go, dude, there's nothing out there.
Oh, it's because we went over it and went, oh, there's nothing here. Move on.
Right. And it's just like,
we'll start trolling.
I think I looked at you and said, they're wasting paint. They're just wasting the paint off the side of the bait. You know? Mm-hmm. That's just, come on. Stop wasting paint, guys. Anyway, ramp skanks.
Ooh.
Tyler, have you ever encountered a ramp skank?
Is it similar to a lat lizard?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh.
My buddy Chris, biggest ramp skank I know. Anyway, going on, guys. We got to move fast and furious here. Because it has been a long day on the Steve Paul Mobile.
Didn't you get stranded somewhere recently, Steve?
Shut up.
Didn't something happen?
No.
Nothing happened?
I'm trying to get a Q&A.
What happened, Steve? You can tell me.
There's no secrets between us.
Your secrets are my secrets.
Your secrets are safe with me. Yeah, I did. It sort of sucks. So I'll tell you, all right, dude. This like I was so mad. So my beloved Jeep. Love my Jeep. Anyway, I had these people for a couple days on the boat. And the first day we were out, dude left a hat in my boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay. And I got the hat and I was like, put it in my truck. And I told him, I said, hey, man, you left a hat in the boat. It's in my truck. He goes, okay, cool, man. I'll get it. The end of the trip. All right. So we're out. God. I have gotten the boat to the ramp and I've parked my truck and backed it down with my door open, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, man, I'm going to grab my hat out of your truck. And I say, that's cool. I go and get the boat, put it back on the trailer after I've backed my truck up. I'm driving up and I watch him walk up to the truck, grab his hat out, and then lock and shut my door. So I get my boat on the trailer and I'm completely like, my truck is in the lake. The trailer's in the water. I'm putting my boat on it and my truck is completely locked with the keys in it and it's running. I am 2 hours from home. And so I just was like, what did you do, man? He's like, I hit the lock thing there on the door. I just wanted to make sure the truck was locked up. I'm literally like 10 feet from the truck, man. You know, like if somebody's going to jump between me and that boat coming on the trailer and steal my truck, they can have it. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like, I salute your effort. You can have my truck. There's no reason to hit the lock button on the truck. I get my boat on the trailer and I just tell him, you guys can go ahead. I'll figure this out. There's like another guy trying to get his boat in. And I'm sitting here like a complete jerk going, I locked my keys in the truck. I can't explain like that. I didn't do it. I'm like, my keys are locked in the truck. Can you just move your truck and go to another ramp? This is just boat ramp karma, Tyler, because I am the worst. I'm like the boat ramp Nazi. Like, you've seen it a million times. If we're out on the water and somebody's doing something stupid, the boat ramp, I'm complaining, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You're launching your boat with a rope, I call you an idiot, right? You can't get it on the trailer on the first try, you're an idiot. You're blocking the ramp, you're an idiot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boat ramp idiots. I'm blocking the entire ramp because I can't move my truck. An hour and a half later, a guy shows up in a Toyota Tacoma that looks like the Taliban has been driving it through Afghanistan, right? Like, all this thing's missing is the 50 cal gun in the back. This thing looks like it's been through World War IX. He jumps out of the truck. Now, mind, we're in, like, super rural Tennessee. He goes, "Hey, man, are you the one that locked his keys in his truck?" In front of, like, everybody that's angrily waiting to get their boats on. I said, "Yeah. Tyler, this is what he brings, right?"
Mm-hmm.
A dulled axe head. Right? A coat hanger. And what looks to be like a blood pressure cuff.
What?
He jams the dull axe head. Mind you, this is a Jeep Trailhawk, folks. This is primo truck here. I'm teasing. I love my truck. This guy takes a dull axe head and shimmies my door open, sticks a blood pressure cuff kind of pump up thing in between it, pumps my door open, and opens the car door with a coat hanger.
Oh my gosh.
And I literally was sitting here going, well, I could have scratched my truck for what I just paid you myself. I might as well just taken my knife and just ran it down the door frame. That was how that went. Thanks for bringing that up. I've not been not too happy about that one. That is just a day in the life of that story. And so I am going to, the takeaway, the moral of the story is I'm going to stop being as mad at the boat ramp. Okay. So if you're out there in hip waders putting your boat on the trailer like an idiot, I won't make fun of you anymore. Is long-term listeners know about the guy that jumped his trailer. Remember? Debbie! And jumped the trailer.
I remember getting that picture and just being so confused. And I'm like, what?
So
what
am I
looking at?
I am taking this as a life lesson. I'm going to try to be more patient at the ramp because I had a bunch of angry people waiting on me to get my truck out of the way, okay? I'm an idiot. That's what happened. I will try to be a better man. Anyway, straight in the Q&A here, folks, because it is like 4 in the morning. First one up is Jack, who won our guru's words of wisdom, right?
Okay.
Jack says the following.
The guru says, just because she ate it, doesn't mean she's a keeper.
Oh, that's a good one, Jack. Send me a message. We're going to send you a Junior's in line that's right out your way. Guru.
Yes, sir.
Guru. Woot, woot with the guru. Woot, woot, woot. Update.
Update. What's up?
Did you ever watch Unsolved Mysteries, Tyler?
Never.
Oh, Robert Stack on that show. All you old farts like me that used to watch Unsolved Mysteries, he'd go, update, we found the corpse of Gene Thompson. You know, it's like this. That shows how I learned about Sasquatch, Tyler.
Old people.
I don't know what that was, but I'll take it. Folks, send us a message if you loved Unsolved Mysteries, because we could do like an Unsolved Musky Mystery segment. Anyway, if you can't tell, I love Unsolved Mysteries. Ronald says, update. Don't sell the musky chant short, Tyler. Remember last week with the musky? Hey, musky, mm-hmm. Musky. Yep, that. They caught a 51.5 with a 23-inch girth after that. He says,
I have the power to give you musky.
He says, no poop on the floor or on her feet, but a real nice fish. Maybe consider dedicating an entire section of the podcast to handing out chants instead of advice. Just kidding. Always pick up useful information when listening. Thanks for the help. Congratulations. Clap for Ronald.
That's
Tyler.
Amazing. I don't know if you can hear that, but I'm clapping.
His wife caught a fish bigger than he's ever caught. She sent in a pic. It's a great pic. Congratulations, you guys. Send us a picture of the mount once you get it in. That's awesome. Me and the guru take full credit for catching that fish.
Yeah.
Pretty much that chant.
Full credit.
That's our mount. Thank you very much. We caught that. that's my fish, Ronald. Okay. That's just, we don't give the chant out to everybody, Tyler.
We don't even fish anymore, do we, Steve? We just give the chance to people and claim their fish.
Listen, are you down on your musky luck? Hold on, I got to set it up. Hello, friends. Are you down on your musky luck?
Yes, I am.
For $89.99, you can have a musky chant dedicated to you. So, anyway, okay, we're going to, Tyler, there's a sale on musky chants now. For free, you can have a musky chant. If you're down on your luck and you need a chant from me and the guru to get you back in the game, you let us know where you're fishing. We will give you the patented and proven and attested by Ronald and his wife, Musky 360 chant to get your musky mojo back up. Right, Tyler?
We have the mojo to give you.
We have the mojo to give you.
Do not underestimate our power.
All right, Pat says, okay, this is just funny. I'm in central Wisconsin, and last weekend my wife said for the first time in 14 years, I want to go fishing with you in the morning. Aw, how cute. Pat says, I was completely caught off guard and was definitely scared. Why are you scared? Is she mean? Does she hit you, Pat? If you can tell us. We're all friends here. We're not judging. Don't be scared of your wife. So he says, so we got up and started to head down to the boat, and she said, wait, I forgot my camera. Here I thought she was bringing it to take a picture of a big muskie. But then she informed me she was just going out to take pictures of the pretty trees. Aw.
That's so sweet.
How sweet. He says, we got into the boat, and I asked, do you have an old... Oh. We got in the boat, and she asked, do you have an old towel? He said, I thought I was going to get... But all she wanted to do was wipe the seat off. Very disappointing. I'm editing. He said, then as I was casting, she was taking her picture of the pretty tree, she looks at the fish finder and says, wow, that's a big banana. I instantly started laughing, and she said, there's a lot of little bananas too. Then I asked her, how does she know the difference between a big banana and a little one? She looked at me and said, it's how they look. I couldn't help but laugh as she looked at me like I was an idiot. Basically, the Musky 360 podcast ruined my day on the water with my wife because I laughed at the word banana so hysterically. You're welcome.
We're here. We appreciate that. We're here to ruin your marriage.
We're here to ruin your marriage. Thank you for the story. You know, if your wife's not out there to fish, kick her off the boat.
Get out of there.
Get out. Do you know where you're at? Ask her if she knows where she's at. You're a musky country woman. So,
woo.
Anyway. Listen, no women are allowed on my boat. None. None. No boomers. No women. That's it. That's how hardcore I am. I demand peak performance, Tyler, at all times.
Oh, my gosh.
No bananas. I don't know. I'm just rambling here. Yes, I let women on my boat, okay? Come on. It's not just.
We'll get one angry comment.
That was insensitive. I'm teasing. Got plenty of womerns on my boat. That's how we say it down here, by the way, womerns. Get plenty of them.
You guys missing some brain cells down there.
Buddy, right now I'm killing some brain cells down here. Michael says, you guys answered a question on the Toro rocket reel wrong.
Hold on here.
Hold on.
I'm not wrong. You're wrong. I don't even need to know what I'm wrong about because I don't remember.
Here it comes.
But you're wrong.
But you're
don't
wrong.
Insult me.
Revo Tort rocket. We're going to look it up. Man. Tyler.
I'm mad that I was called wrong and I don't even know what I talked about.
You're wrong. I got Google, buddy. Revo Tort Rocket LP. Okay. I don't know. Revo Tort Rocket.
I will challenge you to a fish off.
Well, he said we're wrong. Apparently, folks, we have a retraction to make because apparently we said the gear ratio of a reel wrong. I don't blame you if you never listen again.
We're stupid. We don't know what we're talking about.
Dumber than a box of rocks. I don't pre-screen these, as you can tell. Next up, Cole said, "Hello, I am in search of a new pounder bulldog. I am broke between so many colors. What would you suggest for a collar in stained water? I'm going to go to guess where, Tyler?
TheMuskieShop.com, where you get all your musky bands."
Man, dude. That hit me right in the feels.
It was special. Straight from the heart. Just for you, Jay and Jim.
I like that you don't pull any punches, Tyler.
Never.
That it is never. Just like you are bare knuckle art in motion. Bare knuckle it, buddy. Here's my take, man. Okay. I'm looking, but here's the thing, you know. Pounder Alpha Dog. Pretty cool colors. Mm-hmm. Got that Pounder Boy Pickle Rick. Actually, it's called Pickleback. Pickle Rick.
Pickle like Rick. That name better.
All right, guys. Can we start a petition as a podcast to rename the color to Pickle Rick?
Yes.
Anyway, sorry. I don't watch that stupid show, but the word Pickle Rick is pretty funny. Cole, I am thinking, I'm just telling you, versatility. Maybe it's stained, maybe it's not. I like that electric walleye.
I like electric walleye, too.
You know?
I throw black, man. Straight black. It's the one with the silver scales that got in there. I can't remember the name.
Well, it's not straight black. They have New Moon, which is all black. Or black and orange.
No, they got an all black one with silver scales.
Do they?
Yep.
Well, get that one or get the electric walleye. God, man, that's a thing with rubber, I'll tell you. I like black, and I like black and orange regardless of color of water. Just, you know, make it easy for them to find. That's our take. I mean, you know, you could argue back and forth that this and that and that, and this is going to stand up. My money's on electric walleye because walleye is such a good bulldog color, and chartreuse stands out. You got electric perch, which is cool, too. Again, black will always show up, or you just call and ask for Pickle Rick.
Yeah. You know, you guys, if you want Pickle Rick, just call Jay. Say, hey, Jay, give me the Pickle Rick.
Give me the Pickle Rick. All right. Jason says, thanks, guys. I got two muskies in the last weekend on a trip to, I'm not going to say what lake you're on. He said, on a lake. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have had any idea of what to do or what to expect. I didn't end up throwing a black and nickel bucktail like you suggested, but it didn't matter. I boated a 36 and a 30. Thank you guys so much for helping me put me on the fish. Clap, 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 clap.
Clappy, 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 clappy. You're Jason, very welcome, young Patawan.
Thank you, Jason. We're trying our best. He also wants to know, how do you deal with weeds on your lure? Do they still bite cabbage full of bait, or should you just get it out of the way? And or should you just hold on? Forget about. Okay, I got you. So he said also, when we're casting, are we worried about a weeded up lure casting? And what do you do when we're trolling one? Tyler, salad mouth.
The legendary salad mouth. My favorite fish of all time.
The vegan muskie.
I never thought of him that way. Okay. Salad mouth is one of my favorite top rater muskies. Maybe a 45 incher on Three Lakes chain. And I'm fishing. It's basically getting late into the night, and there's a bunch of speedboat traffic just chopping up all the weeds. And I cast my top rater. As soon as it hits the water, it hits like a basketball size of just straight milfoil. And it's just like, you know that clump of weeds where it's so big it's hard to reel in?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? It was that big, and I'm reeling in it as fast as I can, and salad mouth comes up and inhales the entire thing. He ate the entire thing. I caught him. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It took me forever to find that top raider in that fish's mouth because there's so many weeds in his mouth. He couldn't even close it. It was insane. They will still bite it if there's cabbage on your bait. Not all of them. And it, I think it's kind of rare, especially the case in salad mouth is probably one in a billion. Like I don't think that's ever happened.
I tell clients all the time to, even if they bait fouled up, bring it in and do at least a lazy J.
You never know. They could be there. They're stupid.
I mean, you might still eat it. Well, if you got him fired up and he's honed in on some kind of water displacement, your chances of catching the fish, in a lot of days, especially where I fish, it boils down to one contact. You better do something every cast. Don't pull the bait out. Just don't do it. So that's worth doing. You know, as far as trolling, if it's floating broken off weeds, get your rod tip in the water.
Yeah.
Adjust your rod holder so the tips are in the water. The rod will pick up the weeds. And then you're going to get a lot more trolling time in between cleaning stuff off. They make some like little, you know, wire deals that'll go on your leaders. Just put the rod tip in the water, man. It's way easier. That's going to help you go there. The next up is Buster. I'm not going to say the last name, but it's funny. Buster says, hello there, my dudes. Hello, my dude.
Hello, dudes.
He says, let's say I'm fishing big bodies of water with a lot of good structure to pick from, island, steep drop-off points, etc. Where do I begin to target fish this time of year?
Weed boom points, rock humps, steep drops. That's it.
This time of year.
I wouldn't even try anything shallow. I mean, you can.
Well, but, and where I'm at depends on where you're at there, Buster H. But, you know, we can still find shallow fish this far south, but not forever, not for much longer. Start thinking about the first break. And man, it's pretty much for me, it's just like, I'm not worried about the fish that's down there at 40 feet. I really don't care about him. You know, I'm not, you can get them on occasion. Focus on the first break off the shoreline. Focus on, like you said, windblown points. If you got reefs, you got rocks, start thinking that. And right now, be thinking rubber, be thinking cranks, and be thinking meat. You know, that's what's going to get you the furthest. You know, if you're fishing these big bodies of water, you know, like you said, it's a big body of water. What you need to do is sort of go, okay, which way the wind is going? You know, what kind of cloud cover or what lack of cloud cover I have? Try to think about your solar and your lunar influences and sort of plan your day out. So you're going, I'm going to check this, and this, these, you know, four or five different kind of structures or cover. And I'm doing each of those under a prime, you know, a major, a minor, or, you know, moonrise, moonset, sunrise, sunset. That's how I'd approach that. So you're really making sure you're checking each kind of element that you have on that body of water during a prime condition. Next up is Jake. Jake says, hey guys, I've been starting to cast a lot of glide and jerk baits as the water is cooling. Being new to the bait castery, I'm noticing a lot more backlashes using the lure like this, keeping a line tied on retrieval, etc. Any tips for trying to avoid backlashes with a round reel or compact reel?
Make sure you thumb the line when you're casting.
The entire time.
Like, until that bait hits the water, you're going to be thumbing that spool.
Yeah. And that's what I do. I, you know, every lover hated I fish those old school round reels.
Yeah.
You know,
grandpa
reels, because I'm left-handed and everybody, what do you mean that? You know, you find me a left-handed bait caster that's not a piece of crap, and I'll talk shop with you. But, you know, I ride it the entire time. The old redneck name for those are thumb burners. You know, that's what they call it. Oh, we're casting that old thumb burner. And they call it a thumb burner because you keep your thumb on it, it'll burn your thumb up, I guess. I don't know. I mean, us rednecks just make crap up anyway. Use your thumb. My reels, I actually cut the spindle, that the spool rides on. I cut it down. There's zero backlash protection in the reels I throw. and I get about one minor backlash a day. Okay, I'll admit it. Guiding even, I just, there'll be one cast throughout the day where the wind sucks or something's bad. I'll get like something that I can get out in literally 2 or 3 seconds and not even affect the cast. So you're always going to make mistakes. I hate to narc him out, but I've seen Joe Booker get a backlash. It happens to everybody, you know.
Everybody gets it,
you know. So don't worry about that. If you're getting 2 or 3 a day, that's no more or less than most guys are getting, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're out there every day like me and you get one a day, you're doing okay, because there's going to be a cast where my brain just doesn't pay attention and I do something stupid, you know. So don't stress about it. Just keep your thumb on it. Use your thumb as the backlash. If you're waiting for the reel to fix that and like that it's not going to backlash when the bait hits the water, you know, I know there's some tech coming out where there's bait casters that have like servo motors and computers in them. Those are going to be expensive. Have you seen that yet, Tyler?
I heard about it. Yeah. Not impressed.
You know, I don't need my reel to be any more complicated than this. Tyler,
what if it goes Terminator on you?
That's when the reels take over and they just start killing people. I mean, listen, I don't
Terminator fishing reels.
I don't Terminator reels. I don't want to have to fight a reel on the boat. I'm just telling you that much, okay?
Nah.
I'm not really interested in it. This is when the reels try to take over, folks.
If you see a fishing reel produced by Skynet, don't buy it.
Skynet. I do have to take a moment, Tyler. And
yes, sir.
And think Bob, okay?
Bob, thank you, Bob.
Bob is an avid listener of the podcast, and Bob mailed me a Menards hat. He said, the Muskie 360 app and podcast have been a great entertainment and information source for me. And he said, I happened to be at the local hardware store this weekend and thought of you guys when my eyes fell upon this small sample of Menards merch. It will help disguise your southern mannerisms when you venture to the north again. My hand is practically healed after being hooked to the muskie in the net, according to his last time he wrote in here. And Bob is a avid listener and has contributed questions to the app. But Bob sent me a camo Menards hat, Tyler.
That's amazing.
So if you see, you know, big old tall weird guy with a beard wearing a Menards hat up north, might be me.
Does that mean when I come down there, I need an Academy hat?
Academy sucks. Don't even. Academy sports is trash.
Trash.
No, Academy's not that bad. They never carry any stuff down here that's anything. Down here we have Dick's.
You got the same up here.
You got Dick's up there, Tyler?
Yeah, we do.
Do you like
Dick's? It's a little cold though.
Do you like Dick's?
Yeah, their stores are shrinking.
They're shrinking. Losing
this time of year.
They're losing market share, folks. Anyway, so we got Dick's. The king down here, buddy, as far as tackle, I don't know where we're on this tip, is that Bass Pro, son.
Bass Pro.
It is Mecca. Have you ever seen the pyramid they have in Memphis?
I've been to it. It's ridiculous.
The world's largest pyramid is a Bass Pro Shop, folks.
America.
America. Bass Pro.
Proud to be an American.
Listen, you say one more bad thing about Bill Dance and I'm going to kill you. Do you know what, Tyler?
Yeah.
In Tennessee.
What's that?
Literally. Bill Dance, Dolly Parton, Peyton Manning are like up for sainthood down here. That's like the hierarchy of importance in Tennessee. If Bill Dance ran for governor, Bill Dance would win.
In a landslide.
This is no joke. I have heard political campaigns, like political candidates, will pay Bill Dance to endorse him. Like, he'll do radio ads. They're like, hi, folks, it's Bill Dance. You need to vote for Bill Lee for governor. Like, that's how important Bill Dance is in Tennessee.
That's amazing.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. Like, it is just like, he's the dude, You know, you got he's got the University of Tennessee hat he's been wearing for decades. They sell that hat that Bill Dance wears on television. Every Walmart has like 400 of them because every tourist comes here and buys the Bill Dance hat. Just saying.
The Bill Dance hat.
Have you ever watched Tyler? Have you ever watched the Bill Dance blooper reels on YouTube?
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing.
Folks, if you want to watch the funniest junk you've ever seen in your life, Bill Dance blooper reels. I'm just throwing that out there. Ben says, first off, thanks for the weekly podcast. Meow.
Meow.
He said, I put that on while fishing and it's a blast. Well, thank you, Ben. We're happy we could entertain you with our sad, sad musky info. He says, I think the musky ladies like your soothing voices. Tyler, you have a very soothing voice, don't you? Very, very, very silky smooth.
Yeah, I do.
That was sort of weak. He said, this weekend I caught my PB while fishing Mercer Musky Madness while listening. Well, me and Tyler also take full credit for that catch. Thank you very much. That's our
fish.
That's our fish. Thank you very much. You had nothing to do with it, Ben. Nothing. That's my fish, sir. However, shortly after conditions turned into a frozen hail, and I have really used this question answered at the time, what should you throw in October hailstorms? It was cold, limp, and shriveled. I'm talking about my hanging meat. Please don't tell me black and nickel bucktail. It's snowing and blowing hard. What do I do?
What I'm going to tell you is here, Ben.
Listen here, boy.
Black and nickel double tens.
Black and nickel double tens. Listen. Number one thing, pre-ice up, black and nickel double tens. Spring opener, black and nickel double tens. That's it.
Fast as you can reel all year round.
Troll them 10 miles an hour. Tyler, have you told them what you do? Like, as the lake's icing up, Tyler will get a rod and he will just stand on the ice edge and run full speed around the edge of the lake with black and catches hundreds of muskies doing it, folks. Hundreds. This is inside baseball. Yes. So anytime conditions are bad, burn double tens. Man, October hailstorm. Usually hail, and I've been there. Tyler, I've called you and like been like, hey, I just got that living cannoli beat out of me on the lake from hail.
Yeah.
We live here on like the very extreme edge of Tornado Fest 87. Hail is indicative of some bad weather, obviously. You know,
it's not very fun to fish in.
I can't think of any time that I wanted to be in the hail. And I can't think of any time that conditions leading up to or preceding a hailstorm were great. Usually when that stuff hits, forget about it.
Mother Nature's so freaking wild, they're not eating anything.
Yeah, so I got nothing other than speed trolling double tens.
This guy's going to write us back and say, yeah, I caught one speed trolling a double ten in a hailstorm.
Listen. I recommend you get a planer board and an 87 Dodge Camry, and you stick the planer board in a river. You just drive up the river in the car 60 miles an hour, right? Bucktail on the planer board. You just got to make sure it's a clear shot. Actually, there is a video. Have you ever seen that, Tyler? I have to put that on the app. I'll have to hunt the guy down. There's a guy that trolls out of his car and catches a muskie out of like a river.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Surely somebody else that's listening has seen that. Dude, Ben, congratulations on the PB. I got nothing. When it comes to hail, when it's that messed up, dude, be glad you cut your PB and go in and don't get beat up by hail. That's what I'm saying. All right, Brad Lee says, I'd just like to give you guys a big shout out and say thank you for the information you gave me a couple months back on trying to help me catch some of these tiger muskies out here in Utah. It was a success. I appreciate everything you guys said and do, and this app and you guys are amazing. Thank you, Fish On. We put his picture on the app. Bradley, thank you so much. In all honesty, we try our best. There's nothing more me and Tyler talk about and Joe and I talk about the whole purpose of the app, the whole purpose of the podcast, the whole purpose of everything we do here is that everybody's more successful on the water. I know that sounds corny, and I'm not very straightforward very often, folks, but that's what we're trying to do. You know, whether we're joking around and being goofy and whatever, but you know, that's what means the world to us. I'm glad you're successful. I hope you catch more fish. For those about to fish, we salute you, Tyler.
Salute you.
Thank you very much. Anyway, Johnny says, if I were to go on Eagle Lake for my first time and really explore, would you recommend I bring my sleeping bag and tent? My electronics are crappy and I have no GPS. I want to find fish that rarely see a boat. All in all, how hard is the lake to navigate? P.S. I got you guys and can sneak you into Canada. Oh, son.
No GPS?
Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this. Canada, and I'm talking Shield Lakes, all right? Lake of the Woods, and this is the ranking of how okay they are, right? Safest, Lake of the Woods. Really dangerous, Eagle. Death Trap, Luxor.
Oh my gosh, it's 100% accurate, yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. Lake of the Woods, there's a lot of mapping going on.
And there's a lot of people.
Your hummingbird and your low ramps and all your little chips and your chippy chip chip chips. They're going to get you okay. You're going to be okay-ish. Eagle, eh. Good luck to you. I could sit here. I could do a whole podcast on rocks no one knows about, right? And just be like, well, and I mean, literally, I this is no joke. There's a place off of a bay that will go unnamed that Bill Crane sunk a boat.
Whoa.
Yeah. And some of Dad's friends, I can't even talk, Tyler. I'm Pepsi number 6 in so far. A couple of Dad's friends sunk a boat nearly in the same place.
That's insane.
And I'm talking not tore the boat up, sunk a boat. Like, the boat's there. I mean, like, abandoned ship stuff. I remember Dad, there's one bay, and we knew that rock was there, and we've been by that rock a billion times, and the waves were a little bit different, and $10,000 later in fiberglass work, the Ranger was back in good shape. You know?
Crazy.
It would be 4 years ago, I hit a rock doing 40. That was a fun moment in sports, let me tell you. And I knew that rock was there, and I've seen that rock a billion times. And the wind shifted and things were slightly different. And here I hit at dead center mass. And I've been there for a lot of years. I can count my time in Canada by years better than I can by days. So I've spent a lot of time there. Eagle's dangerous. Lough Sool, there's even less common knowledge about. All right. So you run into those situations. I would recommend a guide to get you around. If that's not possible, and I am all about hillbilly solutions, go slow and be spotting off the front of the boat and looking for big rocks.
It's terrifying up there, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things of like the wind shifts and you're not there enough, a lot of guys, to go, oh, I know exactly, okay, the wind's coming out of the east and this looks different and I've seen it enough. You know, we all make mistakes, and you've heard the thing, and everybody says, it's not a matter if you're going to lose. It's not if I'm going to lose a lower unit. It's when.
Yeah, it's going to happen to you. Accept it.
And when I go to Canada, Tyler, you know this to be the gospel. What do I take an extra entire $2,000 of? A lower unit.
Absolutely.
I bought a backup lower unit and a backup prop, and I have the oil in it already. And a new impeller, because I have blown out lower units and just ripped them off the boat, just destroyed them. And I've been there a bunch, and fortunately I don't do that very often, but it can happen. My friend Brent Ogney and Kevin Polarski, they ran a boat. They had a Johnson on that thing, and there was no skeg, Tyler. It just didn't exist. It was like, they had lost the skeg years ago, and like they're running around, they got a 3-blade prop, and it's literally a 1.5-blade prop by the end of their trip. I mean, it was like they literally you'd watch them, and by day three they've clipped at least 10 miles off their top end speed. You know, it's the nature of the beast. So like my grandfather, when he first started going there, you know, he took small chunks and said, I'm going to figure out this bay, right? And so let's say you go to Niven or you go to Spring Bay or Osborne Bay. Don't try to run across the whole thing. Take it in small chunks. The biggest thing I can say about these Canadian waters, give them the respect they deserve. Give them the respect they deserve, because those rocks are sometimes the size of a 2-story house and they're 6 inches under the water. You know, so don't go across that thing 40, 50 miles an hour on an area you don't know.
It could be 100 feet of water and it'll come up to 6 inches.
Yeah.
We've all seen it where you go, oh, shit, that exists. I almost died.
Right. new and exciting rocks, you know, yeah. New and exciting ways to kill yourself in Canada. Be careful. If a guide's not in the cards for you, go out there. And don't go, hey, I'm going to catch a fish day one. Go, I'm going to figure out how to get to these interesting places without being too dangerous. Always, and I hate to sound like corny, but it's just a fact. You are not going to catch me in Canada without making sure that I have proper safety equipment in the boat. I'm not going to go out there without life vest, a throwable. As dumb as it is, because there's one trip where dad got left in Canada on the side of the lake overnight. He got a batch of bad gas there in Canada and it fouled the engine up. Here he is on the side of the lake, miles and miles and miles from camp. No way to get home. You know, your trolling motor ain't going to get you across the Eagle.
Oh, no way. So, impossible.
You know, make sure you got some stuff in there. I know some guys are going, oh, that's goofy. They've been up there. You know, until it happens to you and you have that stuff on the boat that you need to not be miserable or you can be safe, make sure you got it. You know, make sure that you're not, you know, just have some respect for it. Just give those bodies of water the respect they deserve.
I mean, I always carry, you know, I have spot lock in my trolling motor, but I always carry like 100 feet of anchor rope and a nice anchor when I go to Canada. In case you get stranded, there's a ton of bears and wolves on those islands. If I'm going to get stranded, I'm going to sleep in a boat.
Just bears. Just literally. They line up in the evening and just growl.
We rolled up on that one that was swimming that one day.
We did. We almost had him, too. He was coming in on that top-rater. That bear wanted that thing so bad. I'm teasing, okay? It's in an episode of Joe's show. We kept saying that bear was not big, remember? We're like, that's not a big bear, and it crawls up on the shoreline. It's like probably 400 pounds.
Well, what happened was we were within 10 feet of that bear, just filming him, and he was not having it. And then he got up on shore, you know, he puffed up and got real big, freaked us out. And then, like, 15 minutes later, you guys were like, was Pop Tyler in the same island to shoot an out-of-boat shot?
And Joe's like, yeah, that bear's far enough. That bear is literally 100 yards away, and Booger's like, Tyler, get out of the boat so you can take the contract shot. We got to get
there. I kept looking behind me. I'm like, oh, gosh, I know that thing's right there. He's like, Tyler, he's not going to get you. Don't worry about him.
We got to get the old recon in a good shot here, Tyler. Get up there with that bear.
I'm like, I know he's so close. We gave him 10 minutes.
You're up there with the camera and we're casting towards him sitting there going, I'm about to watch my best friend die. And I'm going to love. I was rooting for the bear, dude. Okay.
No.
I was rooting for the bear. I'm like,
I would have ditched that camera so fast and jumped in. I would have been gone.
I was hoping you'd die a slow death. Just I was going to give you a thumbs up while he's disemboweling you. You'll be okay. Anyway, goodness. Todd says, hey, Steve and Guru, love the podcast. That's the best I got today. I'm really tired.
That was a depressed cat.
grumpy cat. You guys have helped me a lot as a new muskie angler this year in Michigan. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to listen to your podcast 45. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to listen to your podcast number 45 as the first one I'd heard due to the crazy start. I don't even know. What was podcast 45? Let's look. Hold on. I'll pull it up. I love a good critique, don't you, Tyler?
I don't like your judgment.
Listen.
I can't handle it.
We're just on here rambling this evening, okay, folks? And
I play with my mustache hair.
Boy. All episodes. What we got here?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what episode 45 was.
Can I ask you guys? I don't even remember my previous day.
I don't know which one it was. I can't find it. Anyway, sorry we had a goofy start. He's being supportive, but I'm sitting here going, which one was it? That was a goofy, weird start. Anyway, he said, I think Tyler and Steve had a lot of Pepsi to start that one. You guys are a lot of fun to listen to. Well, thank you. We got to figure out. Hey, send us what the intro was and we'll reuse it next time. So he said, I've got a two-part question. I'll try to limit the wordiness of them so they don't get butchered or slurred. Well, that's true. One, at what temps do you guys start to change style or size of your baits? Example, what water temps, as a rule of thumb, do you start to switch away from topwater and bucktails and switch to maybe bigger bucktails and glide baits, rubbers, or jerks? Also, when do you start hanging meat or trolling? If you could look only at water temps. Okay, let's just sort of simplify this. And I'll do this sort of the whole year, right? When we come out of ice up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we go to season opener. And we're talking, that can be, those are low temps. We're going to start with our small baits. We're going to use small blades, small topwaters, you know, husky jerks, small gliders. Really, that next mark for me, what, Tyler, is that mid-50s, upper-50s, low-60s, right?
Yep.
And we start getting into 6-inch baits, you know, 700 Bukertails, 500 Bukertails, Hell Puppies, 6-inch Phantoms. You know, when you start creeping up from this mid-60s, like 60 is a big difference between 60 and 65, right? 60 is a real transitional period for me. When I'm in the low 60s, I'm fishing way different than I am in the high 60s, obviously, right? 60's the special place, you know? So 59 and 69 are way different. So if it's below 65 in the spring, I'm going small, slow, above. That's when we get into conventional stuff in my book, right? Which is 8s, 10s, full-size topwaters, full-size jerk baits, rubber, that whole bit, right? And I'm paraphrasing this just for argument's sake as a basic guideline. When we're on the backside of that, top water in the 60s on the way down is a possibility. Smaller top waters again, downsizing your bucktails, but all the way down to on the backside of 70s is we're still throwing big baits until we get to that low 60 mark, right? Then I start thinking like super slow down. You guys up there start thinking meat, right? Mm-hmm. And you start thinking big and slow then. That's the best just like quick paraphrase kind of thing I can give you. Question two, at what point water temps does fishing pick up after turnover, and how do you fish? Do you start to come back to structure, or do they stay in pre-ice stage that everything seems to be? Do they stay deep? It's drawing the best bet. Okay, so what do they do once turnover figures itself out and the lake sort of goes back to normal? Sometimes they're still going to go shallow.
Well, they can be anywhere.
Yeah.
They could be anywhere.
Yeah.
You got to try it all.
Turnover.
Find the bait fish.
Yeah.
You want to do it faster.
Yeah. And turnover can be, again, turnover is such, and the reason you're always going to, we're never going to give you a definitive answer on turnover unless we're all fishing the same lake. That's why turnover is one of those questions you always hear about.
If I just put out a random number, there'd be like a definite answer. Someone would tell me I'm wrong.
My definite 7.
-4. You know, someone's gonna tell you you're wrong because their lake's different.
Right.
Every lake's different.
once you've sort of slowed down from that, man, fall's interesting, dude, because spring's really easy. I always, the spring fishing, early summer fishing, very patternable. The fall can be anything and everything. And one lake might be what you would think is normal, and next lake is just crazy. That's why I think a lot of the early to mid fall trolling works for people, because it's a matter of covering water. You can cast it, but that's why I think a lot of people think trolling in the fall is to cover water, because, you know, if you're on, like, you're fishing lakes A, B, and C in the course of a day in northern Wisconsin, all three of them could be different. You know, it can be hit or miss and can change day to day. Like I said, and we've talked about it before, turnover is just one of those games where it's you're never going to get an answer that's going to satisfy all your questions. You've got to pick a body of water, and you've got to, like, grind it out. That's the best I've got. Last one up is from Todd. Todd.
Hello.
Todd says, barbless hooks for muskie fishing, Colin?
No.
No.
A good no, idea or a bad Europe. Idea? This is America. This is America.
This is America. He says, I haven't. Let me read here. Okay. I'm paraphrasing it sort of long. He says, do you like barbless hooks? And he says, furthermore, Pete Maynard claims he has a better hookup ratio with barbless. I can ask Pete how he feels about that. I could ask at some point. Last time I checked, Pete Maynard's face was on, like, the Mustad triple grip, you know, mm-hmm. Then which are, like, the biggest barbed hooks Mustad has ever made.
Yeah.
Okay. So Pete has the Pete Mena Mustad musky triple grip hooks, which are like a vulture claw. Like, there is no way a muskie could ever bend one of those hooks. I use them. They're BA Baracus. That's like a insanely heavy hook. And it's got a big old barb. So I don't know. I'll ask Pete next time I get him on, or next time I talk to him, I'll see his feelings on it. I do not like barbless hooks. I need all the help I can get. You know, the thing is this. There's a lot of talk of that in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember seeing, like, Mesencomer doing it. It's one of those deals with the barbless hooks. They're going to come out easier. It's probably way better for the fish, right? But if you let the pressure off in any way, shape, or form, that thing can just slide out real easy.
Oh, they're gone. Gone.
So, you know, I've not put any time into barbless hooks. I really don't have any personal interest in fishing barbless hooks because of that. I think proper handling and care and attention is fine. I think a sharpened, well-sharpened barbed hook is going to get you as far as you need to be. So that's a thumbs down from me on barbless hooks. Tyler, what do you think?
Two thumbs down. If I could do more, I'd do more.
Three thumbs down.
Three thumbs down. Get them out of here. This ain't Europe. This ain't Germany. This is America.
Do you know where you're at, boy? This is musky country. anyway, Tyler, I'm Tyler. Oh, my God. Folks, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Pepsis down the gullet of another Musky 360 podcast. Guess what next week is, Tyler?
What is next week?
Are you mocking me, boy?
No, I just said, what is next week?
You said, what's neck week? Slurred down.
You sure?
I did. I don't know. Next week is the 1-year anniversary of the premiere episode of the Musky 360 podcast.
The 1-year anniversary.
We're going to have special musical guests.
Ooh.
Special guest appearances. Special specials.
I like it.
Possum references.
Halloween costumes.
Face painting for the kids. I don't know. We'll think of something stupid. Maybe we'll do a best of show where it's like literally just one sad joke that's not that funny. And we'll be like, hey, guys, this is the best we have to offer. And it's just like the worst joke we've told all year.
We could just cheat everybody and just take snippets from all our previous recordings.
And put them
and
together.
And just lousily put them together for you guys. And we just don't have to do anything.
I want to show you something.
Oh, really?
It's big. It's black. It's orange. Do you want to see my pounder? Do you want to see my pounder? Do you want to see my pounder?
Yes, yes, yes.